that everything that happens in this world is divinely ordained. Happens with hashgacha pratis. Happens through divine providence. Nothing is random. Nothing is just a coincidence. It's all part of Hashem's master plan. And Hashem orchestrates the events that we experience. And as I was thinking about what to talk about in the Shmooze, so a few things were running through my mind. And I think there's a connection between them. First of all, we just finished Hanukkah. Tomorrow night, we're going to be participating in the Siyum HaShas of Daf Yomi, the 13th cycle of Siyum HaShas, as Rabbi Olshan just mentioned, here in Yerushalayim, program for English speakers with a few thousand people. In America, MetLife Stadium, 100,000 people. And the Siyum HaShas events throughout Eretz Yisrael, throughout the world, with tens and tens of thousands of people. And then, of course, we just had one of the most horrifying, terrifying anti-Semitic attacks in the New York area just a few days ago in Muncie. And this morning, Joe Matthews showed me on his phone two other recent anti-Semitic events from yesterday, one in the train and one in Highland Park. And I think these are all things that we need to think about and address. What's our response from a Torah perspective? And is there a connection, or is it just random, that these things are happening at the same time? You know, when I grew up in Washington Heights. Some of you might be spending your next couple of years there. And the neighborhood's changed a lot from when I was growing up. When I was growing up as a kid in Washington Heights, going to school, you know, either when I was younger, I would wait on the corner at the top of the hill from where I lived for the school bus. When I got a little older, I used to walk back and forth to the local, you know, from school there. Shiva Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch of Breuers. So invariably, as a young kid growing up, I experienced anti-Semitism pretty much firsthand in terms of, you know, being harassed, being called names. I always had a fear, like, you know, I would get mugged. Maybe a guy would come over to me and pull out a knife. Who knows what? Thank God, Baruch Hashem, that never happened. Although there were definitely many shootings that I heard growing up as a kid. They weren't, thank God, any of the Jews. But, you know, it wasn't the safest of neighborhoods. And definitely you felt like, you know, there's anti-Semitism out there. But Baruch Hashem, it never really crossed the line of, like, manage physical harm. And what we're seeing today in America and in the New York area, which is the center really of Orthodox Jews in America, is basically these lines have been broken. And how should we respond to that as a Torah Jew? How do we respond to this, to what's going on? I'm not saying what I'm going to say is the only response. There are obviously many different ideas. Some say, get on the next plane. Come to Eretz Yisrael. Some say we have to, you know, lobby our politicians. They should provide better security. We have to have armed guards. These are all valid responses. Again, I'm not saying, I'm going to offer a little bit of a perspective. And there's a perspective. Let's first talk about Daf Yomi. So tomorrow night, here in Yerushalayim, there's going to be an event in Binyanei HaUma, the largest convention center in Yerushalayim, where 5,000 Jews are going to come together to celebrate Daf Yomi, to celebrate the Siyum HaShas, the 13th Siyum HaShas. The founder of this concept was Rav Meir Shapiro, who was one of the great Gedolim in Poland, pre-World War II. And when he conceived this idea and proposed this idea, he was actually a very young Rav. He was in his 30s, and was at the first gathering of Agudas Yisrael, the Knesia Gedola, in 1923, with all the big Gedolim of the time were present. Chafetz Chaim, Chaim Oizer, Chaim Brisker. And they asked Meir Shapiro, who was a young and up-and-coming Rav in Poland, one of the great future Gedolim in Poland, they asked him to speak at the convention. And he got up and he said he wants to make the following proposal. He wants to propose that starting the coming Rosh Hashanah, the convention took place in Elul, 1923, in August. He said he wants to propose that in 3 weeks' time, Rosh Hashanah, 1923, we should start a cycle of Daf Yomi, where everyone will learn, make shiurim and shuls, to do a daf a day of Gemara, and this way, in a little more than 7 years, be able to be Messiah in Shas. And Rav Meir Shapiro said that he has two main reasons why he thinks this is a great idea, that we should start learning Daf Yomi. The first reason, said Rav Meir Shapiro, is that he said that this way we'll unite Klal Yisrael, we'll unite Jews together. Because a Jew from Eretz Yisrael, for example, who will go on a boat, again, this is 1923, and take a boat to America, and it'll take him 2 weeks to travel to America, he'll leave Eretz Yisrael, he'll be learning, let's say, Brachas Daf Beis, he'll arrive in America 2 weeks later, they'll be learning Brachas Daf Tesvav, he'll walk into a shul, he'll have what to converse with the people in the shul, he'll have something to connect to that will bind them together. He'll be learning Brachas Daf Tesvav, and they'll be learning Brachas Daf Tesvav. That will bring Klal Yisrael together. We come together through the Torah. That's what unites us. That's what Rav Meir Shapiro said. And in fact, we see this today. Daf Yomi, you'll see the videos of the celebration at MetLife Stadium. It brings together Jews from all different backgrounds. Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Hasidim, Modern Orthodox. Everyone together. United around the Torah. United around what makes us a nation. As Rav Sadia Gaon says, Ein umaseinu uma, ela b'tayrasa. What makes us a nation, what unites us, is the Torah. That's what unites us. That's what makes us into a nation. That's what distinguishes us from the other nations. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe where he was invited to participate in a Siyum HaShas of Daf Yomi that was given. The shiur was led by Rav Simcha Elberg. Rav Simcha Elberg was a great Rav in America. He had a very famous Torah journal called Hapardes. And he invited Rav Moshe to come to the Siyum HaShas that he was making in his shul. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes back to him the following. He says, I received your invitation, and I would really love to join you in this simcha shel mitzvah. He says, because the siyum, the simcha of a siyum, is not just for those who learn the Masechta, that they should celebrate their accomplishment, that they learn the Masechta. But rather, says Rav Moshe, the simcha of a siyum is for all people who learn Torah, who have a connection to Torah, who appreciate Torah. All people that have an appreciation of Torah, all Jews, should participate in celebrating the Siyum. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's Das Kuf Yutes. Gemara in Shabbos says the following, Omer Abaye, Abaye said, Tasty Lee, I deserve a reward, I deserve schar, the kichazino tzur b'merabonon, the Shalom Masechta. Because when I see a young student, a young Talmud Chacham, who completes a Masechta, Avdina Yoyma Toivim Rabbanam. I made a holiday, I made a big celebration for all the Talmud Chachamim. Says Reb Moshe, what's Pshat in the Gemara? Abaye didn't learn the Masechta. He saw a yeshiva bacher finished the Masechta. He threw a party for the whole yeshiva. Why did he throw the party for the whole yeshiva? For all the Talmid Chachamim. They didn't learn the Masechta. One guy on his own decided he's doing Megillah. So you make a party for the whole Torah Shraga? Yes! Because if you appreciate Torah, then the simcha, the celebration of one person, Siyum, is a simcha for everyone. Last night I was davening in Machon Lev, Myriv, and on the table, Siyata Dishmaya, they had from maybe two or three Siyume Ashases ago, a pamphlet with the speeches of Rabbi Avadya Yosef that he gave at the Siyum Ashas. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef, he says the same thing as Rabbi Moshe, brings the same Gemara Masechta Shabbos, but then he quotes an amazing vart to this effect from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says the following. He says, if you take the word Siyum, so what's the gematria of the word Siyum? 116. That's the gematria of Siyum. If you take the letters, if you spell out the word Siyum by spelling out the words of each letter, there's something called the letters bimiluon. The letter, the way it would be written as a word. So Samach is the first letter of the word Siyum. Samach, you would spell Sin, Samach, Mem Chof, right? And Yud is Yud, Vav Dalet. Vav, 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 Mem, Mem, Mem. So says the God, the Grod, the Vilna Gaon. If you take the hidden letters of the word Siyum, Mem Chof, from the Samach, you take the Yud Dalet from the letter Yud, and the Mem from Mem, and the Vav from Vav, the hidden letters, it equals also 116. It equals Siyum. Because, says Rabbi Avadya, the people who are hidden in the Siyum, meaning they didn't actually learn, they didn't achieve this accomplishment on their own, they are full-fledged members of the Siyum, like those who learned it. Full-fledged members. The hidden part of the word Siyum equals the same gematria as the revealed part of the word Siyum. 116. He quotes the Gemara in Maseches Makis, where the Gemara says that a person who is a facilitator of a mitzvah, he joins those that do a mitzvah, he gets the schar like a person who did the mitzvah himself. So when you participate, says Rabbi Avadya, in a Siyum Ashas, you're participating, even if you yourself didn't learn, but the fact that you are celebrating and happy over this achievement of other Jews' accomplishments in Torah, it's considered as though you learned it. It's like you learned it. You're a full-fledged member of the Siyum. You should celebrate the same way they celebrate. I was listening to a shiur in preparation for the Shmuz from Rav Baron from I think it's called Imre something. I don't know. I'm not sure the name of the yeshiva. So he said an amazing pshat in the following chazal. Quoted a Gemara. The Gemara is two Gemaras. A Gemara in Maseches Brachas and a Gemara in Maseches Ksubas. The Gemara in Maseches Brachas says the following. Omer Abchia Barabo, Omer Ab Yoichnan. All of the prophecies that we read about the reward that will happen in the world to come, says the Gemara, this is all a description of the reward that a person who marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or does business with a Talmud Chacham, or gives gifts to a Talmud Chacham will receive. Abel Talmidei Chachamim Atzman, but the reward of a Talmud Chacham himself, what reward will he get for being a Talmud Chacham? Ayin Loirasa Elohim Zulasecha. No one can see that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what is the real reward that a Talmud Chacham will receive. That's one Gemara, Gemara Brachos. The Gemara says in Ksubis, towards the end of the Masechta, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Omer Ablezer, Amiratzus Einon Chayim. People that are Amiratz, they're not going to get Tchias HaMesim. And he quotes the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, but how do you bring a raya from that Pasuk? Omalei Mikra Acher Ani Dairish. I have a raya from a different pasuk. Dichsiv ki tal oirois talecho ve'eretz refoim tapil. Kol mishtamish ba'artoira artoira mechayeyu. Because she'ein mishtamish ba'artoira ein artoira mechayeyu. Mara says in Ksubis, Reb Lezer learns from a pasuk that if you utilize in your lifetime the dew of Torah, the tal Torah, the dew of Torah, then you will get Tchias HaMesim. The dew of Tchias HaMesim will resurrect you. But if you didn't utilize the light of Torah, the dew of Torah, then you're not going to be zeicher to Tchias HaMesim. So Rav Baron, he asked the following question. These two Gemaras seem to be saying that the reward that a person will get in the next world and Tchias HaMesim depends on one thing. Torah! What is your connection to Torah? If you have a connection to Torah, to learning of Torah, then you will merit Tchias HaMesim, then you will merit Olam Haba. If you're a Talmud Chacham, there's nothing to talk about. What we can't even describe the reward that a person will receive who's a Talmud Chacham. But if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, but he's helping further the study of Torah, he assists Talmidei Chachamim. He respects Talmidei Chachamim. He wants his son-in-law to be a Talmud Chacham. That he marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Then he gets a tremendous schar in Olam Haba. So why does it all depend on Torah? We know there's 613 mitzvos. There are 612 other mitzvos that a person who does them gets a reward. This pshat, these gemaras are saying, get Tchias HaMesim, you're connected to Torah. You have schar in Olam Haba. All the Nevi'im described, all the Nevu'is, if a person has a connection to Torah. What about the 612 other mitzvos? So he said the following answer. I'm not going to say the full answer. There was one piece that I needed to go back to look up. But he said over from, first of all, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner explains in Ruach Chaim, we say in the Mishnah, in Davening, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Soyro Secha, V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avoyda Secha. Hashiveinu B'Shuvah Shleimu L'Fonecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu we relate to in two ways. As Avinu, our father, and as Malkeinu, our king, our master. In Davening, we say, Ashiveinu Avinu L'Torah Secha. V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avoyda Secha. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when a person learns Torah, his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father and a son. It's a relationship of a ben. When a person does other mitzvot, it's like an eved with a melech. It's like a servant who's serving the king. But the relationship that a person can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of being a ben, he's his child, that's the relationship that's established specifically through Torah. Only through Torah.
Hashiveinu Avinu, Mesayra Secha, Karveinu Malkeinu Lavoidu Secha. So Rav Baroni said over from Shamshin Pinkus the following mashal. So there was a woman who she got married, and unfortunately her husband died at a very young age and left her a widow with a number of children. She was 27 years old and she had 6-7 kids. And she had no money, that's it. She lost her livelihood. So she had no choice. She was a little embarrassed, but she needed money to feed her family. So she went to Chov Malchei Yisrael, and she sat by the corner of Malchei Yisrael, Me'esharim Kikar Shabbos, and she put out her hand and was asking for donations. And King came by, and he saw this woman, and he felt bad for her. He asked someone, what's going on over here? He told him the story. So the king gave her, first day, $300. Okay, nice donation. She was excited. She felt a little bad, though, taking a donation, having to ask people for other people for donations. And then, next day, a week later, the king comes by, sees her again, begging for money, gives her a larger donation. Again, she feels like a little uncomfortable, embarrassed, that she has to receive a donation from someone. A few months pass by, and the king, who was giving her these regular donations, he took a liking to her. He himself was a widow. Yeah, he's lost his wife. He decided one day, she's a nice girl, nice woman. I'm going to propose that she becomes my queen. And he marries her. Now she becomes his queen. She has all the riches in the world at her fingertips. Is she embarrassed to partake of that? She's not embarrassed to partake of that. She's the queen. She's his wife. Are the children going to be embarrassed to partake of the wealth, of the riches of the palace? They're not embarrassed, they're the princes. Their mom is the king's children. They're his sons. Says of Shamshin Pinkus, if a person establishes a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of a bet, of a son, so then we don't have any embarrassment. The Sfarim speak about that. Why do we have to go through this world? Because it's embarrassing to just get it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a freebie. The schar of Olam Haba. There's Nama de Kisufa. There's shame. Bread of shame. Says of Shamshin Pinkus, that's only if we're being rewarded for what we did. But if we establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're his children. It's a father-son relationship. The son doesn't feel embarrassed that his father gave him a Chanukah gift, that he gave him Chanukah geld. That's part of the relationship. They're Bamish one, the father and the son. The father doesn't feel bad that he gave his son a Chanukah present. He gave him money for Chanukah. So says Shamshin Pinkus, when a person learns Torah, he establishes a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of a son and a father. Everything else is predicated on that. Your reward that you'll receive for doing other mitzvos depends on what kind of relationship did you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. If you had the relationship through Torah, that it's a father-son relationship, so then the schar for all the other mitzvos, it comes along, it's not, there's no embarrassment. But if you don't, then there's shtickle embarrassment, there's shtickle nama de kisufa. Says Rav Baron, that's the reason why the Gemara here is telling us that the schar of Olam Haba is all dependent and all contingent on Talmud Torah. Because through Talmud Torah, we establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship of a father and a son. Now we're all distressed and upset about what's going on
with the anti-Semitism in America. But one perspective that I believe we need to have is from Chazal. Chazal that we all know. The anti-Semites, they're Amalek. They're Amalek. I'm not saying that, you know, in a halachic sense, if this goes up on YU Torah, they should edit that comment so I don't get into trouble. But their philosophy is, it doesn't matter what type of Jew you are, they want you to be eradicated. It happens to be that, unfortunately for us, but also it's important for us to understand the significance of this, we are the most identifiable as Jews. Of Yarmulke, Tzitzis, Peis, we're most identifiable. But they hate all Jews. They want to kill all Jews. You know, the things that they're writing about, the Jews, it's not Dafka, a guy who's a chassid. They hate Jews. They're Amalek. The Torah tells us, Vayomoy Amalek, Vayilochem in Yisrael Berfidim. Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael, a place called Berfidim. Why is this place called Refidim? Says Rashi, quoting Gemara, "Mipnei sherofu yedeyem in haTorah." They were weak in their learning of Torah. When we're weak in learning of Torah, Amalek attacks us. And if we're strong in Torah, then Amalek will not have any power over us, as it says also in the Medrash, "Hakol kol Yaakov vayedayim yedei Esav." So the Medrash says, I think it's quoted also in Rashi, that when the voice of Yaakov is heard in the Botei Knesiyos and in the Botei Midrashos, then Ein Ayadayim Midei Esav. Esav doesn't have power over us physically. But when Ein Akol Kol Yaakov, then it will be Yadayim Midei Esav. That's what Chazal tells us. Torah has a power to protect us. Limud HaTorah is the power to protect us. I was listening, again, a little bit preparing for the shmooze, so I went online and I was watching a video of the last Siyum HaShas 7.5 years ago. So Malkiel Kotler from Lakewood, he quoted the following Ramban. Ramban says in the Psukim in Parshas Yisro, where the Torah tells us, "Va'atam shemaya tishmu b'koyli." Hashem says, "If you listen to my voice, u'shmartem es brisi, and you accept the bris, and you keep my covenant, you accept the Torah, then v'hi'isam li segula mikol ha'amim, you will be for me a treasure from all the nations." What does that mean? V'hi'isam li segula mikol ha'amim. You'll be a treasure from among all the nations. So the Ramban writes, Ramban says, V'yisim l'sgula, like a person has a treasure, the king has a treasure, he doesn't let it out of his own sight. He watches over it himself. He doesn't give it to someone else. The king's, let's say, personal signet, his personal ring. He doesn't give it away to someone else. He watches over it. It's on his finger at all times. So Ramban says there, if you look up the language of the Ramban, V'yisim li segula mikol ha'amim, the Torah is promising us that if we accept the Torah and we learn the Torah, then Hashem will protect us through direct hashkocha, direct divine providence. That's what it depends on, our connection to learning Torah. In this week's parasha, we read about Yosef revealing himself to the brothers. And there's a famous Medrash where the Medrash says that the brothers, the Torah tells us, were so frightened when Yosef said two words, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, they were unable to respond. Says the Medrash, how much more so in the future when each person will come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have to give a reckoning for his life, will we not have what to say and will be so at loss from the Tochacha. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, where was the Musar? Yosef just said to them, Ani Yosef.
Where was the toichacha? Where is the rebuke? So the Beis Halevi has a famous pshat, which is kedai to look up, and I'm sure you'll hear it from one of the rebbeim. I'm sure, between now and the end of Shabbos. Can't go through Parshas Vayigash without the Beis Halevi. Chaim Shmulevitz has a similar idea, but a little bit of a different take. Chaim Shmulevitz says the following. He says that the brothers realized, he says, the biggest mussar is when you realize that your whole concept was mistaken. Your whole way of thinking was a total mistake. You were totally off. The brothers thought, here, Yosef, we're going to get him. We're going to destroy the possibility of his dreams being fulfilled. We're going to sell him as a slave to Egypt. No way his dreams will be fulfilled. And then, oh, lo and behold, he reveals himself. And Yosef. And in that instant, they realized that everything they thought was a complete mistake. They realized it's a complete error. And that's the biggest mussar. When we realize that things that we take for granted and we make certain assumptions are a complete mistake. That's the mussar that we're going to receive in the next world. Rav Ruderman, in the Sefer, on the Parsha, Sichas Avodas Levi, he quotes the following famous Gemara. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, and he was going to pass away from the world, so the students came and they asked him, "Why are you crying?" So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "As Gemara in Brachas Daf Chavches Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if I was facing a human king who was judging me, who is a mere mortal of flesh and blood, who's here today and gone tomorrow, I would be frightened, I would be afraid to stand in judgment. How much more so when I'm coming now in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I shouldn't be afraid." So ask Rav Ruderman, what's pshat still? Why was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai afraid? He's Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Nosi, the God of Ador. The Gemara says in Sukkah, The Gemara says in Sukkah, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He knew the conversations of the trees. He knew the deepest secrets. Why is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai afraid that now he's going to meet his Creator and how is he going to stand in judgment? What's he afraid of? He knows that all. He knows Kol HaTorah Kula. Says Rav Ruderman, that's why he was afraid. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized that he has tremendous potential. He has tremendous koiches. And what he was afraid is that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to tell him he didn't maximize his potential. He didn't fully accomplish everything that it was possible for him to accomplish. That's what he was afraid of. It's a famous maisa with the Netziv that Shalom Shradron quotes in this week's parasha also. On that medrash, the medrash says Hashem looks and judges every person according to what he is. So the famous story with the Netziv is that when the Netziv published his sefer on the Shiltois is a perush on the Chumash, not really a perush, but really a work written by one of the Gaonim, Rav Chai Gaon, on Chumash, going through the parashios, bringing down different mitzvos and halachos that are related to the parashios. So the Netziv, he made a great siyum when he published his commentary, Hamik Shela, on the Shiltos. He made a big siyum, which was unusual. People didn't really make a big party for publishing a sefer. So they asked the Netziv, why are you making the party? So Netziv said, he spoke at the siyum and he said, the reason he's making the party is because when he was a youngster, he was sitting in his parents' house and his parents were in the kitchen and he wasn't really such a great Talmud in yeshiva or in cheder. He used to
battle and waste time, and he wasn't such a good learner, didn't enjoy learning. And he heard a conversation that his parents were having in the kitchen, and they said, what should we do with Naftali Tzvi, with Hirsch Leib? What should we do with him? Maybe we should send him off to the tailor, the local tailor, to teach him a trade. He should learn a trade. Looks like he doesn't have a future in learning. And his parents, he heard the conversation, he saw how distraught they were. So the Netziv, he took it to heart and he said, okay, that's it. From now on, I'm giving a full effort to learn Torah. I'm not going to cut any corners. And he worked hard and he accomplished and he wrote the Shilta. Says the Netziv, he says, if I would have come up to Shemayim after 120 years and I would have been a tailor, I would have taken the other route, I probably would have been a fine Jew. I would have davened three times a day with a minyan. I would have put on tefillin, eat kosher. Everything would have been great. But he says, you know what would have happened in Shemayim? They would ask me, where is your commentary on the Shiltos? So I would have looked at them, what are you talking about? I never heard of the Shiltos. Never heard of it. So says in its is, sometimes a person can accomplish tremendous things. He has tremendous capacity to accomplish in Torah. Person should never sell himself short and think, I don't have the ability to become a Talmid Chacham. Every person has an ability to achieve in Torah. Each person has their chelik in Torah. We have to give it a full effort. And if we give it a full effort, then Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll have the Koach HaTorah, which will guard us collectively and will help us receive our chelik in Olam Haba, even for the other mitzvahs. Thank you.